Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's February 15, 2016, and this is episode 510. I'm just back from the first of my two Japan winter wildlife tours for 2016. So today we're going to start to walk through the tour day by day, sharing some of my resulting images as we go. I was able to go through my images for each day and at least give the ones I liked 3 stars. And although I reduced this number a little bit during the trip, I came home with over 7,000 images and more than 800 of which still had 3 stars against them. I spent much of the weekend going through and comparing similar images, reducing the number further, but as I started to prepare for this series, I still had 175 final selects. This is a good crop of images, but my goal from any trip is to reduce my selection down to as few images as possible. So this will be an ongoing job over the next week, and probably also after I finish the second of these 2 wildlife tours. To enable me to start this series though, I went through the images and selected a short list, but this was such a productive tour, even that short list started off at around 80 images. Finally though, after much deliberation, I've narrowed it down to 40 images to show you, so we'll make this a 4-episode series. Before we start, I'd like to mention that despite this being a wildlife tour, I actually decided to leave my Canon EOS 7D Mark II camera body at home. As you may recall, I'm working mostly now with 2 Canon EOS 5DSR bodies, which many people have dismissed as a wildlife camera. Of course, with just 5 frames per second, it's not the best camera to capture every wing position of a bird in flight, but having fallen head over heels in love with the incredibly high quality 50 megapixel images from this camera, I knew that I would just not use the 7D Mark II. I've shot wildlife with much less capable cameras than the 5DSR anyway, so I figured I'd put myself in a position to make it work. And as we'll see, work it did. So I've blown yet another 5DS myth out of the water on this trip. We started the tour on February 1st with our drive over to Jigokudani in the Nagano Prefecture, about 3 to 4 hours northwest of Tokyo, to photograph the adorable snow monkeys. As usual, I spent a lot of my time just trying to capture interesting expressions on the faces of these incredible characters. In this first image, I got the distinct feeling that this monkey was looking at one of the visitors to the monkey park, saying, "Seriously?" At the end of her gaze, there was probably a tourist with a selfie stick or a bright pink ski jacket on. I was aware that I was cutting off the hands of the monkey being groomed in the background. But when I zoomed out a little bit more to include them, the image kind of lost its balance. So I let them go, and I don't think it hurts the image much. I was also trying to get an angle where there was a lot of snow in the background. It was perhaps just a little colder than most years, but with 2016 being an El Niño year, we have actually had very little snow so far, so we didn't have the best backgrounds for much of the work at the Snow Monkey Park. I shot this at f8 for a 320th of a second at ISO 800 with a focal length of 241mm with the Canon EF 100-400mm Mark II lens. The owners of the monkey park have actually put a barrier up around the pool, so you now have to shoot from about a meter or so from the monkeys, so the 100-400mm is now a little better suited to shooting here than the 70-200, which I've shot with here in the past. I'm shooting mainly with the 100 to 400 millimeter now anyway, but I think that the 700 to 200 could be a little short here sometimes now with this new restriction. This added distance does help to give more people a chance to get photos though, and seems to keep the crowds moving more, so it's a welcome change in my opinion. To keep the overall number of images down, that last image is the only one that I'll share from the first afternoon. After this, we went to our beautiful traditional Japanese hotel to find that our bags have all been magically transported to our rooms while we were shooting in the monkey park, and enjoyed their baths and a wonderful evening meal. The next morning, we made our way back into the park for a full day. This next image is more a conscious decision that I would like to make some new images of the monkeys just doing their thing. This little guy was just sitting on the edge of the pool, seemingly gazing at the snow as it fell. In reality, I think he was looking at some monkeys fighting on the valley wall on the opposite side of the pool, but I can get away with my interpretation here, I think. I shot this at f6.3 for a 320th of a second, ISO 640 at 371mm. I chose a slightly wider aperture for the shallower depth of field to help me blur the background a little. Without the snow, the background can get very busy, so I wanted to just reduce the structure a little more here. Another thing that we find ourselves doing is trying to capture the snow monkeys jumping from the side of the pool to a stepping stone in the middle of it, as we can see in this photo. I increased my shutter speed to a 500th of a second to help freeze the action, although I also panned with the monkey here too, making the rocks around the pool a little blurred, but that's fine. It's more important for the monkey to be sharp. I also opened up the aperture to f5.6 to help me get that faster shutter speed, and I increased the ISO to 800. This was shot at a focal length of 214mm, and so far none of these images are cropped. I'll try to mention when I've cropped an image, so if I don't mention this, assume that the images are uncropped. So I have a nice big 50 megapixel file here to play with. During this full second day, we generally spend more time exploring the park, looking for opportunities like this one, as a mother huddled with her young one. This isn't the best photo of this type that I've made, but I always do enjoy seeing the affection between the mothers and their young. In reality, this is as much about both of them keeping warm than it is about the mother protecting the baby, but it's still nice to see and capture. For this photograph, I stopped down the aperture a little bit to f10, and there wasn't a lot of light, so this already put me at a 160th of a second with ISO 1000. But it was fine as the monkeys weren't moving, so my image stabilization did its job as I handheld at 300mm. Of course, at 300mm we have less than a centimetre of depth of field at this distance, so only the baby's face is totally sharp. But for an image like this, I'm not too worried about getting both faces sharp. If I had wanted them both sharp, I could have gotten a little lower to get both of them closer to the focus plane. But the lower I got, the more the mother's arm would cover the baby's face, and I didn't want that either. Towards the end of the second day, after the staff of the snow monkeys had thrown out the barley that they feed to the monkeys, I set myself up in a position from which I like to photograph the monkeys running down a track on the side of the valley. I like the resulting photos from this spot, but I also wanted to try to see how good the 5DSR would track with a monkey running towards me, as I started to see if the camera really can handle wildlife photography. I was happy to find that the 5DSR handled this situation about as well as the 7D Mark II does as far as autofocus performance. The main drawback of the 5DS over the 7D Mark II, though, is that the focus points cover a much smaller area of the frame on the 5DS. If you can live with that, it's really not a problem. In this photo, I like the way the monkey's fur is blowing in the wind that she created as she ran pretty quickly down the hill. I did slightly crop this image from the top right, partly for a better composition, but also to get rid of some dark rocks on the valley wall, as there wasn't enough snow to cover them all, as I often like to see at this location. Even with the crop though, I still have a 34 megapixel image, so that's almost 1.5 times the resolution of the 7D Mark II, which means that I could print this much larger without having to upsize the base image. Upsizing is always an option, but anytime you are creating pixels, you don't get as good quality a print as you do printing with a file that is natively large enough to print without upsizing. We returned to the monkey park for the morning of our third day, but to keep the overall number of images down, we're going to skip that this time and move on to Hokkaido, which is the northernmost island of Japan, where we pick up the trail after a 90-minute domestic flight as we start day four. Until shortly before our tour, there had actually been no snow at all at the Akan Crane Center, where we would start our photography of the beautiful Japanese Red Crown cranes. Again, this is the El Niño weather patterns at work. We'd had plenty of snow for my Hokkaido landscape photography tour before this tour, but much of that snow isn't making its way to the south coast of Hokkaido this year. So the ground at the Crane Center was not looking great this year. We'd had some snow by this point, but it was all clumped up and not very pretty. Although I'm always prepared to bring the group back to the Crane Center if it does snow, even on the third day, as we are due to move on, to cut a long story short, we didn't have any falling snow at the cranes this year, and although that didn't stop us shooting, it does mean that I don't really have many photos that include the ground that I'm happy to show you, especially as I have so many other photos that I really do want to share with you. But where the weather took some opportunities away from us, it did present us with some other amazing opportunities, particularly on day five, our second day with the cranes, so we'll look at some of those shortly. For now, here is one photo from the end of day four when we visited a spot for a sunset shoot where we know that the cranes often fly over a line of trees against the sunset, as you can see here. Of course, the cranes are in silhouette against the sunset, as are the trees, but that is what this image is all about. I really like the texture in the sky in this image, and this one was one of the few flyovers that we had where the cranes were this high, so I was pleased to be able to make the most of the opportunity. As I explained to my group, although I usually shoot in manual mode when there is snow in the scene during the day, this is one of the few times where I actually generally switch to aperture priority because the brightness of the sky changes greatly as you pan across the scene with the cranes. So if you set your exposure for off to one side, by the time the birds get to this point, the sky would be overexposed. For this image, I was in aperture priority mode with minus 2/3 of a stop exposure compensation dialed in. I had set my camera to not select a shutter speed any slower than a 500th of a second, as I wanted the crane's wings to be sharp. And I also selected auto ISO so that the camera could increase my ISO as necessary to maintain a fast shutter speed. The resulting settings with my aperture set to f10 were a 640th of a second shutter speed at ISO 125 at 217mm. Apart from plus 18 on the clarity slider in Lightroom, this is straight out of the camera, so I'm pretty happy with these settings. If you've been following my tours over the years, you'll know that on the second and third mornings in Hokkaido, we visit a bridge called Otowabashi. Otowa aptly means the sound of wings, and this is where we hope to photograph the red-crowned cranes in the river where they spend the night. The thing with this location, though, is that we really need there to be hoarfrost on the trees around the river to change what can be a relatively drab scene into one of the most beautiful locations on the planet. For the hoarfrost to form, it generally needs to be colder than minus 16 degrees Celsius or 3 degrees Fahrenheit with no wind. When we left the hotel before dawn on day 5, it was only minus 7 degrees Celsius, which is 19 degrees Fahrenheit, so we were pretty sure that there would be no hoarfrost, and there wasn't. But as you can see from this photograph, we were treated with some pretty beautiful mist, which turned a lovely pink colour as the sun rose. I shot this at f11 with 160th of a second shutter speed at ISO 800 using my Canon 200-400mm lens with the built-in 1.4x extender engaged, giving me a focal length of 560mm. I had hoped for a while that the mist we see here would stick to the trees and freeze, but it wasn't cold enough. We still got some great insurance shots though, with the beautiful pink mist, so we were all quite happy as we made our way back to the hotel for breakfast before heading over to the Akan Crane Center again for our second day there. As I mentioned earlier, the ground was a bit of a mess, but on this day we were presented with a myriad of photographic opportunities overhead as the cranes flew in over a beautiful blue sky with patches of fluffy clouds. I'm really not a fan of blue skies, and my images rarely contain them, but the cranes and eagles at this location can be incredibly beautiful against a blue sky, as we see in this photograph. I really like this image for a number of reasons. The fluffy clouds against the blue sky make a lovely backdrop, for one. I also love how the cranes are not just all flying as they usually do, but they were just hanging there, all in different poses, almost like a family unit, enjoying the fact that they can fly together like this on such a beautiful day. This is uncropped, and the detail in each of the cranes is amazing. There is even a catchlight in the eye of the crane at the top of the two on the right. I shot this with my 200-400mm lens with the 1.4x extender engaged at 560mm. And for this one, because the birds were almost directly overhead, I'd taken it off the tripod and was hand-holding it. The shutter speed was a thousandth of a second at f10 ISO 320. While shooting with the 200-400mm on my Really Right Stuff tripod and gimbal head, I kept my 100-400mm lens on a second 5DSR body on a Black Rapid strap over my shoulder. I like to use the Black Rapid strap for this kind of fast-paced shooting, as it enables me to quickly bring the camera up to my eye, and also distributes the weight better than a regular strap over the shoulder or neck. Having the second body gives me a little bit more freedom to handhold and zoom out as necessary as cranes fly overhead, as they did for this shot. I ended up at 227mm for this image, so my 200-400mm lens would have done the job as well, but I would not have had the time this time to get it off the gimbal and zoom out before these guys were overhead. Whenever I change my settings on one camera, I also changed them on the second camera. So this image was also shot with a shutter speed of 1/1000 of a second at f10 ISO 320. I can't wait for Canon to listen to my request for built-in Bluetooth or some other close-range communication capabilities so that my cameras can talk to each other and automatically synchronize some of the key settings that I would specify in the custom functions. It would be amazing if I could keep my aperture, shutter speed and ISO settings synced between cameras automatically. Ideally, if the bodies share the same functionality and settings, being able to synchronize a wider range of settings would be even better. As usual, one of the highlights of visiting the Crane Center is the eagles and black-eared kites that arrive at 2 p.m. to steal the fish that the owners of the center throw out for the cranes. Shortly before 2 p.m, the white-tailed eagle that we see in this image soared overhead, once again over this beautiful textured blue sky, so I couldn't resist this image. This too is uncropped, and although it's tempting to crop in a little, I really like how the cloud texture kind of frames the image. And I'm also thinking that with the amount of detail that I still have in the eagle, that this would make a beautiful large print. I also have hundreds of other images with these eagles filling the frame, so I'm going to leave this guy in this beautiful environment for this shot. I've done this with some of the soaring crane shots as well, and I can't wait to print some of these out really large. The settings for this image are 1/1000 of a second, f10, ISO 320, again at 560mm. The display with the eagles usually lasts between 10 and 20 minutes, but on this particular day, the eagles kept coming back for just over an hour. It was incredible. I have so many shots that I'm really happy with. It's going to pretty much be impossible to whittle the images from this tour down to a reasonable number, as I usually like to. As I said, the conditions in many ways were not ideal, but thanks to the other opportunities that we were presented with, this was perhaps the most productive tour that I've run so far. We'll pick up the trail in part two of this series with a photo of the beautiful black-eared kite and a couple more eagle shots before we see what happened at the bridge at dawn on day five. Were we lucky enough to get the hoarfrost? Tune in next week to find out. Before we finish, I'd like to remind you that we are now taking bookings for the 2018 Snow Monkeys and Hokkaido tours. For details and to book your place, visit the tour page at mbp.ac/ww2018-2018. Our 2017 tours are already sold out, but if you'd like to be put on the wait list, please contact us at mbp.ac/contact. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with part two of this series, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.